Amen. If you would, fill out an envelope for us, and if we're giving an offering or not, doesn't matter, but feel free to put your prayer requests on the back. Also, a couple of people missed the membership class that we did a few weeks ago. We normally do that a couple times a year, but we're thinking about doing an extra one. So if you're interested in taking a membership class, if on the back of the back of your envelopes, there's actually a membership place. Just mark that membership. And that does not mean that I want to be a member. It just means I want to know who you guys are. And that's what this membership class is all about, just letting you know who we are, what we stand for. And somebody told, I think, Treva the other day, she wants to attend it because she just wants to know what we believe. That's one of the most intelligent statements that's ever been made. Before you join a church, you ought to know what they believe. And that's what we discuss in the membership class, who we are. Why has God planted a church in Parrish, Tennessee? I asked myself that question many times. But I know it's His plant. I know it's God's doing it. So mark that membership if you're saying, whenever you schedule it, I'd like to attend that. And Eugene needs the practice, and so we're going to let him teach again. Man, that man's starting a church in about a year, and he needs to know how to teach a membership class because he's going to get a lot of opportunities. Praise the Lord. Amen. If the ushers would come forward. We thank you for your faithfulness on your tithes and your offering. One lady told Treva, she said this week, she said, when we were unfaithful with our tithes, our budget and our family finances was very tight. And she said, when we got faithful with our tithes, she said, an abundance started coming in. It's just the way God works. You have to step out in faith and do what He says to do, and then He blesses it. Amen. Brother Brian. Yes. Anytime, brother. Anytime.
God, thank you for these kids.
Amen.
Just like they said, I love to feel the Holy Spirit's presence. I thank you that we can even come together like this because there are so many people in this world that can't do it. They have to hide it. I ask you to bless us all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're studying today out of the book of Romans, chapter 16. I probably will have one more sermon in the book of Romans next week. And then I am very sad to say that we're moving on. It's only taken about a year. But it's been a year of love for me. I have absolutely loved teaching this book. And we may, one of these days, visit it again if the Lord tarries. I've just enjoyed it so much. I feel like it's been so enriching to who we are as a church. Now, today we're in Romans chapter 16. We're going to read the first 16 verses. And let me say, my Greek is not very good. It's all names. This is a preacher's worst nightmare. But Romans chapter 16, Paul starts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Sintra, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house, and greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, I love that name, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stasius, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Artie, thank you. Greet Herodian, my countrymen, and greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord, and greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Astyages, something like that, and Philemon and Hermas and Patros and Hermes and the brethren who are with us. Greet Philegus and Julia, Nercus, his sister Olympus, and all the saints who are with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just come before you today, and we're so thankful for your word. I know it's anointed. Father, Lord, your word says in the book of Revelation, let him that has ears hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, there is something rich in this portion of Scripture that the Spirit of God wants to give to us today and wants to enrich our lives and improve our lives and transform our minds through this word. So, Father, not only do I yield myself as an instrument to you, but I ask, Lord, that this church would yield their spirits and their ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A church is not a people processing plant. It's not just about getting people in the door and doing our business and moving on. It's not a place that's to help the community necessarily, a community agency. It's definitely not a business. I don't believe that a church is supposed to be seeker sensitive. I believe that seekers come in and we should be kind to them and open the doors, but I believe a church is something different. The title of this sermon is A Church That Loves. Amen. That's what the church of Christ is supposed to be. If we're not, let's just all go out and join Lions and the Rotary and do something positive for our community. Right? If we're not really going to be a church, a family, then let's do something different. Families are unique. We're all dysfunctional. Every one of us. It's just the degree of dysfunctional, right? There are some families that are extremely dysfunctional. Can't get along. There's no peace in the house. But even the best families are dysfunctional. Why? Because we're people. Because sin abounds. A church is a family. I have three boys. My boys used to fight. No. Not your godly home. Yeah. They used to fight. Now, they didn't fight a whole lot, but they did fight. Guess what? You know, every once in a while, a church fights. But you know what a family does? A family forgives. They come back together and they say, we're brothers. You let somebody else pick on you, and I'm right there with you. You know? So do we have problems in a church, even a godly church? Do you have problems? Absolutely do. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love. We're supposed to forgive each other. We're supposed to help each other accomplish the goal that God has for your life. That's why we're here. To help each other reach heaven. to help each other live a successful life here. What does that mean? More than just going to heaven, I want to be joyful here. I want to know how to love my wife. Do you know Scripture talks a lot about husbands loving your wife? I don't think men come with that rule book, right? I think, you know, Scripture says, let the older men teach the younger men. Let the older women teach the younger women. What? How to love your husbands. You mean somebody actually had to teach Treva how to love me? Come on! Anybody can do that. It took a few years, right? It takes a while. The Bible says, know your wife. Know your wife. The best foundation you can give to your children is love between the husband and wife. Let them feel very secure that mom and dad love each other. They may see you spatting a little bit. I would caution against that much. I don't believe that my life growing up, I didn't see my mom and dad spatting. I saw them fist fighting. I saw mom throwing bricks through the wall. She threw a spatula one time and it stuck in the wall. She had a temper. And he was a boxer in the Navy. He could lay you out. That is not the kind of household that I wanted. I was 19 years old when Treva and I got married. And I can remember I told her this. I said, listen, if we're going to fight, I'm not marrying you. I've had this hellhole long enough. I don't want any part of that kind of home. But I think it can be different. Truthfully, I had never really seen a good home. You know, normal to me was what I was raised in. And that's the same way with your children. Normal to your children is what they live in. Now, this is a little perverted, I guess, but you know, little girls are getting molested by daddy. They get to thinking that's normal. That ain't normal. Well, it ain't normal for dad to hit mom either. It's not normal for mom or dad to be disrespectful for the other one. How's the little guys going to learn to respect women, to respect authority, if they don't see it as an example in the home? Too many people say, well, I got to take my kids to Sunday school because they got to teach my kids. I'm sorry, but that is not what's going to happen. We're going to reinforce, hopefully, the values you're teaching your children at home. Godly values. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe in Sunday school. I believe in what happens behind those double doors. I believe in it. You ought to have your children here, and you ought to be faithful to that because they are putting something in your children. So we know what the family of God is not. But in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you're a chosen generation. Now, we like to talk about this. But he says, who's he really talking to? He's talking to the church, right? He's talking to us. What? Who is the church? We are. The church is not this building. My brother Ron back here, I love this man. He's Catholic. I don't know if you know it. I'm sure he knows it by now. Catholic Church and Pentecost are not exactly alike. Right? But guess what? We're brothers in Christ. I don't care what's over the door. We're a chosen generation, church. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a special people that proclaim the praises of Him who called every one of us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, there's not a good person in this church. There's a bunch of saved people that have been redeemed, and you're good because of the blood of Jesus. Now you are righteous in Christ. That's the church. And this chapter is just sort of interesting. Because every word in the book is anointed and ordained by the Holy Spirit. And chapter 16 is Paul giving a shout out to a few people. And I've got a feeling it's people that would slip under the radar. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? It's people that probably are not on the pulpit. I doubt seriously that many of these people were the heroes in the faith. But to Paul, they were. Paul was saying, don't you forget these people, because they have served the ministry. See, we recognize, I hate to say this, we recognize big mouths in the church. But we don't recognize the prayer warriors. We don't recognize the people that every time there's a need in the body of Christ, they're there saying, what can I do? How can I help? Can I serve someone? Please don't ever mention my name. I would love to tell you how many times people come up and they will give me a package of money and they'll say, somebody in that church is hurting, Pastor. I figure you know who it is. Give it to them and please don't tell them who this is from. See, this church will never know those people, but heaven does. Heaven takes notice. And Paul knew. And Paul says, I want to give a shout out. Just like, you know, I'm a little ADD, and I'm talking about communion, and I see Ron's face, and you know how it's butterfly, squirrel. And when I saw him, I thought, Ron, man, I just had to stop myself from going back there and hugging him. That guy is special to me. That's what Paul's doing. Paul is giving a shout out to people that have been very special in his life. And you know what I love? He starts with Phoebe. See, the church and the world thinks that God is anti-woman. God discriminates against the sexes. No, He doesn't. Some of the church may, but God said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It's not about your sex. It's about your willingness. And Phoebe was the top of the list. Phoebe means pure and bright, radiant. Her, actually in the Greek, it's diakonos, not her name, but the servant part, which could mean deacon. Phoebe was possibly a deacon in the church that was serving. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. We don't know for sure, but it's possible. She was the one that was delivering the letter to the Roman church. She was the one going back, and that could have been risky. But she was the one taking the letter back to this church saying, Paul has written us, in my opinion, one of the most important letters in the New Testament. It is so divided between doctrine and application. It's a wonderful book. It says she has a reputation of helping others. Galatians 6:10 says, let us do good to all, but especially those in the household of faith. Phoebe had that reputation. You know, there was another lady in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Her name was Tabitha, but they called her Dorcas. She had a reputation of doing good in the church. God healed her and restored life back to her. Remember? These are sisters in the Lord that are valuable to the kingdom. Why? Because they could bake a cake. They could clean someone's house. They could take care of a sick child when someone needed to go to work. They could prophesy and they could speak the word of the Lord to you and they could intercede for you when something was going wrong. They were people of God. They wasn't men. They're women. I believe probably quite a lady. Refined. But she helped people. Does it get any better than that? It doesn't. That's what all of us have been called to do, is good works. Do good works. And then there was Priscilla and Aquila. Paul met this couple in Corinth. They had fled Jerusalem. because they were being persecuted. So they had fled and they went to Corinth. And when Paul goes to Corinth to start the church there, he met this couple that had the same trade as him. You know what that is? Tent makers. So he fell in with them and they took care of him. He worked, but they helped him. A little later, we find out that Aquila and Priscilla met another man who was a very gifted orator. His name was Apollos. He was a great teacher, but he didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He taught John's baptism, the baptism of repentance, water baptism. They took him, and that Scripture says they taught him a more excellent way. I thank God, as a minister, there are people in this congregation that take time to teach me. They really do. People come to me and they teach me all the time. They share with me their life and scriptures that God has inspired them. It's a lesson. So thank God for people like Priscilla and Aquila. It says they were fervent in spirit and mighty in scriptures. What a godly couple, huh? Those kind of couples that you want in your church. You know what we would call them today? Mentors. They were a couple that maybe was never on the pulpit, but they would see a new couple that got saved, maybe like Brian and Jenny. And God would say, hey, begin to pour your life into them. So they'd go over to Brian and say, can we have lunch with you today? And they begin to develop a relationship. And they begin to teach them how to love each other. How to raise a little girl. How to be a man and woman of God. This couple over here, they're like mentor magnets. They just grab people's hearts. People want to help them and pour into their life. I think that's so neat. I love to hear that. I love to hear of people that are taking time to enrich the lives. Do we not live in a selfish world? For some reason, life just gets all about us. All about me, me, me. And the church ought to be different. You first. How can I help you? What can I do to pour into you? What can I do to make your life better? That was Aquila and Priscilla. They were mentors of the faith. And then there was Epaphras. Come on, I don't know how to say it. And he says he was the first fruits of Asia. You know what that means? When Paul went there, first guy that got saved, it was him. Now, we got a few preachers in this crowd. And I'm going to tell you, you never forget your first fruits. You know who gave their life when you were preaching the gospel. And there's something special about them. And Paul's saying, don't forget this guy. He's precious to me. You know, we started this church back in 09, 08, as a satellite church for Hope Harbor, and sitting right there where my brother is sitting, God spoke to my heart and said, this is not your church. So I resigned, and Brother Allen took over as the pastor, and then we were just under shepherds or whatever, called it pastors in training, pit is what I call it. But Pastor Art was the pastor, and Pastor Art changed some things, and he started video streaming. That didn't go over well at all, and I felt so sorry for Alan, because the church said, we're not doing that. And the church just started falling off. And it was sad. And I can remember talking to Alan every week, and I remember talking to Terry Stalls and Connie. And you know, I had basically one question. You know what that question was? I don't want to embarrass this lady, but it was this. How is Shay Smith doing? How's she doing? You know why? Shay Smith was our first fruit. when we started this church. The Sunday that we began this church, we put an ad in the paper. She looked at that ad and she felt like God told her, you need to go to that church. She came and got saved that day. Shay is the first fruits of this ministry. Precious in Trevenai's eyes. And I will tell you, she is not even the same lady she was. She was a good lady when she came in 8 years ago. But she ain't nowhere close to like that anymore. She's a different lady. She's a lady of faith now. Amen. And then we have Mary, a Jewish woman. Oh, I wanted to say this. In James chapter 1:18, this verse says, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Can I say this? As special as Shay is to the Kelleher's and to this, actually to the entire body, because she's the first fruits, you are a first fruit to God. So the way I was interested, how is Shay doing? Is she hanging in there? Is Shay okay? Don't you know that God does that for you? You're His first fruits. You're the first fruits of Jesus when He laid His life down. You're one of a kind, a new kind, a Christian. And God loves you. Can't you look at Can you start to see Jesus in heaven saying, hey, how are the Thomases? How's this brother and how's this sister doing? Holy Ghost, touch them. They're my first fruits. Isn't that neat? Then Mary, she was a Jewish woman who had labored much, what Scripture says. These were all people that Paul is acknowledging. Andronicus and Junius were people that he met in jail. They served in prison with him. They were inmates together. Special people. Did they do something wrong? Probably for preaching the gospel. They were in jail with him. Now, we don't know much about this couple. We don't know if this is two men that were ministry team, or we don't know if that's a husband and wife. We just don't know. But we know one thing, that they were special to Paul. Some of these people in this chapter were slaves. They were not the high and mighty. They were slaves. And Paul said, they served me. They helped me. You know what he's really saying? You see, when we read the word, we say, oh, Paul. Wow. If I could just be like Paul. He wrote one third of the New Testament. Man, this is a guy that was totally transformed. One time starting off and pulling Christians out of their house and having them killed, and now he's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. But you know what Paul is saying? Listen closely to me. I couldn't have done it without these people. I could not have accomplished what I have done without the Priscilla and Aquilas, without the Phoebes. The guy in the pulpit is only as effective as the person in the pew. Bridge of Hope is not about the Kelleher's. Bridge of Hope is about the family of God. Moving, touching lives, helping each other in the kingdom. If it ever becomes about the Kelleher's will resign, I promise you. Because you're warped. When it becomes about the pastor, it's warped thinking. The pastor is to equip you to be ministers. That's what his role is. Now, is it a special role? It is a special. It's one of five of the offices of God. I'm not putting it down. But too many churches have the pastor up here on some kind of pedestal, and all of you people are down here. That's wrong. We're fellow laborers in Christ. Chapter 16, not about a bunch of pastors. It's about a bunch of fellow laborers in Christ. It's about people that would sit in the pew and pray for the pastor when he preached. That was praying for Paul when he was in a jail cell. That possibly was sending Paul a few dollars every month just to provide for him, to feed him while he was imprisoned. We don't think of those things. We don't even know about those things, but God takes notice. There is going to be a reward day in heaven. And most people think, well, I don't care about the reward day. Yeah, you better care. You better care. Because you know what we're going to do with those rewards? We get to cast them at the feet of Jesus. Have you ever been in service where, man, you just wanted to give? Maybe there was a missionary or just a special need that came up in the church and you wanted to give so badly, but you did not have anything to give. Can you imagine what it will be like in heaven when everybody else is casting their crown at the feet of Jesus and you don't have anything to give? Don't shut up your bowels of compassion. Don't quit giving. Don't quit baking cakes. Don't quit praying for people. Don't quit serving and loving and enriching other people's lives by your service. The special thing that only you can do. You know, there are some of you that you visit the sick in the hospitals. You go to the nursing homes. Nobody knows it. But God does. He says, I know it. I knew when you gave the least of these a cup of cold water. I took notice. God must be some kind of accountant. He keeps track of it all. And one day, He's going to reward you for those things. One day, the same way that Paul is given a shout out in the Word of God, there's going to be a shout out in heaven. He's going to say, Bob Popovich, you were faithful in the little things. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing thing that God, first of all, that God knows me by name. When He looks at Bob Popovich, He's not going to say, number 273456, come forward. Oh, that's me. He's going to say Bob Popovich. He's going to say Joey Malakas. And He knows how to pronounce your last name, brother. He's going to call you by name. The Bible says there's a new name written in glory. See, maybe Mama named you Bob, but God has another name for you, and you're going to know it in heaven. It's going to represent your character. Do you want to know what your name is? Wouldn't that be interesting? And then He says, hey, don't forget Rufus. What an interesting young man. You know, many of you don't know who Rufus is. But Rufus's dad carried the cross of Jesus. You know, I don't think we ought to let our little kids take communion. Have you heard that before? I don't think a kid can get saved that young. I got saved at 7. Baptized in the Holy Spirit the same night. Rufus was a young man, probably when his dad carried that cross. I believe that it left an indelible mark on Rufus's life. Because years later, Paul is saying, take care of Rufus and his mama. You know what else she said? She was a mama to me too. You know that everybody needs a mama. Yes. I'm 54 years old. And I have mamas in this church. Peggy is a mama to me. She checks on me and scolds me like one of her children. And I love it because I know she loves me. You're not taking care of yourself. You need to do. She's a mama in the faith. This lady, Sue Hudspeth, she's a mama to this church. You getting it?
Yes.
Come on. Of this whole book of Romans, he takes a chapter to give a shout out. And it wasn't his idea. It was the Holy Ghost. And one day there'll be a shout out in heaven for you. Of all these names and labors for the cause of Christ, Paul's giving honor where honor is due. These people probably served in obscurity, but they mattered to God. And then he ends by saying this, greet them with a kiss. Oh dear God, a hug pushes me. But he says, greet them with a kiss. Don't amen that. A kiss was a symbol of deep love, affection, of covenant and relationship. Now, Americans don't kiss each other a whole lot. But the Eastern countries, they're kissers. They go up to each other. Right? That's their culture. A handshake does very well with me. I'm fine with a handshake. I remember when I told the church, I said, you know, I struggle. My mother didn't even hug me. So I struggle with that a little bit. And Jean, she met me that day at the door. Jean and Paul Selinsky. Jean met me at the door. She hugged me and she kissed me on the cheek. And it was wonderful. Because she was showing me affection. When did we quit doing that? I'm not talking about kissing. I'm saying, when did we quit showing affection to people in the body of Christ? Many of you have shared with me that this church is more like a family to you than your actual family. You're closer than you are to actual brothers and sisters. That's the way it's supposed to be. The body of Christ, united together in a deep affection of love. Can I give you the ABCs and D of authentic affection? First one, accept one another. You know, we're different. I got Maria over here, who's got things in her ears, tattoos on her body. We're different. Not less. Different. I've got people in here that were former alcoholics, former drug addicts. Ron's Catholic. I'm Pentecostal. We're different. But we accept one another. We accept and love one another. We don't try to change each other. I'm not going to Maria saying, cover those tattoos up. No, I'm not going to do that. We're different. Different cultures. And that's okay. My brother pastored a church in California. You couldn't tell what color it was. And I loved it. You look at this church and you say, oh, that's a white church. And can I just say, we are way too white. We need more color in this church. We need more diversity. So reach out. Let's get a little browner. Say, Pastor, you ought not say that. Yeah, I should say it too. Let's reach out to all cultures. Every culture has something to add. You want to help our worship? Let's get some black people in here. They know how to worship God. They will teach us how to dance. These are pretty good. I would love to dance, but I'm afraid I'll fall. I am clumsy. Accept one another. B is become a servant. If you're having a rough day, find someone to serve. Go to a nursing home. Love on somebody. Go to a school. Volunteer to read to a kindergarten class. It's all kinds of things. Go to your senior citizen center and help out. Do something. Do something in the church. Do something in the community. C is cultivate esteem for each other. Show value in each other. Not just that we accept each other or put up with each other. We esteem each other. The Bible says give honor to whom honor is due. I believe that everybody deserves honor. Even those that have come out of some rough backgrounds, they deserve honor. Especially if they've been delivered from a rough background. Man, they started behind the eight ball. God's done something great in their life. We don't say, she used to be a drug addict. She was a prostitute one time. We say, she come out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. We do not have to discuss the darkness. We should discuss the marvelous light. So we esteem each other. Does that make sense to you? We honor each other and build each other up. And the last thing is, we demonstrate our love. Words are cheap. Words are cheap. If you really love somebody, show them you love them. I can tell my wife all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if I never help her, if I never say, what can I do for you? How can I make your life a little better? If I lay on the couch and she's in the kitchen doing all the dishes after she's cooked all the supper, after she's worked all day, after she's taken care of the kids, and then at nighttime I'm saying, hey, baby. And she's saying, I'm exhausted. Men, we ought to wise up. Change a few diapers. Do a few dishes. You may go in the bedroom and your wife may say, hey, baby. You know, they say a man is never so sexy to a woman as when he's doing housework. Grab that vacuum, man. There's going to be some clean houses today. Demonstrate your love. Demonstrate your love to each other. Demonstrate your love to your pastor. Demonstrate your love to Carla Tucker and the ladies keeping the nursery. You know what? It would not hurt you one bit to go buy a gift certificate, $5 or $10, and take it to the nursery worker. And say, I just want you to know, I enjoyed service today. And the reason I enjoyed it is because I knew my baby was safe with you. Now, what do you think that would do to a nursery worker? Wow. You know, my daughter-in-law, they just adopted, you know, the little baby. And so she took 12 weeks off from work. And she's a doctor. She's a pediatrician. And she did not want to go back to work. You know, you go to 16 years of school or 20 years of school and then residency and $200,000 in debt, and she doesn't want to go back to work because she's fallen in love with this little girl. But she had to go to work. But when she got there, there were people that says, I've been putting off my doctor's appointment waiting for you to come back to work. Do you know what that did to Emily? Wow, they waited for me. the other doctors got to her and said, "We want to give you a raise because you're so valuable to us." Every one of us need encouragement. It's like oxygen to your soul. We just need to hear that, "Hey, you know, you touched my life. I love you. Thank you for doing that." The guy standing at the door greeting you, what if you said, "Thank you for opening that door for us every week"? What if you went to Belinda and Alan and said, "I've never seen our bathrooms dirty, and I have never. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Kaisners. It's a service with excellence." You get me? You get me? We're a family. And we're a growing family. Let's get to know each other. Let's take each other out for lunch. Let's invest in each other. A little bit of time, a little bit of love, and a whole lot of words of affirmation. Let's cultivate a relationship. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's a group of people that are dedicated to loving each other. Stand with me. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's right. And you are worth it, my brother. Told me today, though, he's wearing that collar to stay awake. He said he's afraid when he falls asleep, his head drops. He's ornery, I'm telling you. He looks sweet, but he's ornery. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're not in this family. And I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope. I'm talking about the family of God. Maybe you're not part of the family of God. And something that the Spirit of God has moved your heart and says, "Man, I need to be in a family like that." I'd love to introduce you to the father of this family. You know what's neat? Is when you come into the family, he gives you new DNA. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Everything that you did in life that you're ashamed of, including the shame, gets wiped away. You got a new future and a new hope in him. If there's anyone here, I'd just like to say a prayer with you. We won't embarrass you in any way, but anybody here says, "I need to get into this family of God." With an uplifted hand, I just want to pray for you. Anyone at all? I believe that most of us are Christians in this building, if not all of us. I hope today that this encouraged you to be a loving member of the family. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm just not that outgoing." Neither am I. By nature, I'm actually very shy. But can I say this? You are worth me getting out of my shell to introduce myself to you. You're worth getting to know. I'm going to tell you, people like Ron Huff on the back row, they enriched my life at the Senior Citizen Center. 22 years I got to serve those people, and I loved every day of it. I met some of the best people of my life. You're going to meet some of the neatest and great people in the body of Christ, in the house of God, that you're going to say, "Lord, thank you for letting me know that person. Let's be an authentic family." Can we do that? Say, "Eric, I don't know if I'm in the right church." Maybe you're not. Pray and let the Lord lead you. Can I just say this as your pastor? You do not have to come to Bridge of Hope to go to heaven. You're welcome to come to Bridge of Hope. We love having you here. But it's possible that God has you an assignment somewhere else. And if you go somewhere else, and we meet at Walmart, I'm going to hug your neck or shake your hand, and I'm going to love you every bit as much as if you come to this church every week. Why? Because we're all part of the family of God. It's bigger than Bridge of Hope will ever think about being. Let's love each other. Let's love the Church of Christ. Let's love the Catholics and the Baptists, the Presbyterians and the Lutherans. Can we quit fighting with them? Start loving them. That's the family of God. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, for these people. Lord, I want us to be an authentic church of love, exercising love and forgiveness and grace and mercy, walking in the fruits of the Spirit and experiencing life together. Father, I thank you for Romans 16 that teaches us that people are important to you. And you notice the unnoticeable. You notice the ones that we don't. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're not a respecter of people. You don't think men are greater than women. You love every one of us. Teach us to do that in full humility. Show us the way of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Ray, would you come and dismiss this?